Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Again, our topic is understanding righteousness. It says, as anyone who lives, is this not good? Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not what? Is not acquainted with the teaching about what? About righteousness. In other words, he says that any child, anyone who remains a child. Now, one characteristic of a child is that a child is not able to overcome. A child is restricted. A child does not have the full potential of what as a human being he has been made to be able to possess. That's what a child is. So he's saying that anyone who lives on milk, people who lives on milk are children. So in other words, anyone who's a child is still an infant. The issue is that while they remain an infant is not, they're not acquainted with the teaching of righteousness. When one does not understand righteousness, he remains a child. Praise the Lord. He never meets his full potential of his inheritance in Christ. Because of lack of not understanding righteousness. So for us to be able to abide in God or be able to fulfill God's will, it is of a core importance that we understand righteousness with God. Because people are going around trying to fulfill the will of God, struggling, wanting to do the will of God, being under curse that they put themselves, saying that I have not met the will of God. And that is why I'm finding myself in this place. So not being able to meet the will of God. So if we understand righteousness, if we don't have a clear understanding, if we don't begin to grow to know the righteousness, what righteousness means with God, it will handicap us tremendously with our inheritance. Romans chapter 1, 17 to 18. He said, this good news, this amazing love, this good news, it tells us how God makes us what? Makes us right in his sight. What the gospel does, what the good news does, is reveal righteousness to you. Praise the Lord. What he begins to do is tells you how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by what? By faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person what? Has life. The only way a righteous person can have life is what? It's through faith. Verse 18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by what? By their wickedness. You know what it says? God's anger begins to show people who suppress the truth by their unbelief. Praise the Lord. He says that God's wickedness, God's anger begins to show you end up in a place where you're unable to take God's inheritance. Because in other words, you know that if what I have for you, if you can't have it, it means that I don't have it available for you. I withdrew it from you. Or maybe even if I didn't withdraw it from you, there is something that stopped you from taking it from me. Praise the Lord. So he's saying that God shows his anger from heaven. God shows his anger. God shows our inability to be able to take what God has. It's revealed. It's revealed against all sinful and wicked people because they suppress the truth and they don't believe. Because of their unbelief, because of their wickedness of what he said already from verse 17, that these things of God is received by faith, that in God's sight he has made man free. He has made man free from sin, that when they suppress and they don't accept that because of their wickedness, it stops them from being able to take from God what God is offering them. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. So Apostle Paul began to say, he said, look, so there's a time when a person is a child, and the characteristic again of a child is lack of understanding, not having full understanding. So when somebody does something, you say, why is he acting like a child? What you're insinuating is that the person does not have a matured understanding of an adult on that issue. Praise the Lord. So he said, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned what? As a child. But when I grew up, I did what? I put away childish things. He said the first thing that happens when you grow up is you put away childish things. So when you put away childish things, you begin to act mature. And there is an understanding that comes to you that makes you a mature. You don't get mature just because you become older. I mean, we all know that. Because you have seen people who are 50 years older than you, 10 years older than you, and you engage them in certain things and you get disappointed. You say, I didn't even know that he's such a baby. So really, when he's talking about growth, childhood and growth, it's about understanding. Now, verse 13, he begins to show something, that same place right there, of his understanding of what childhood and maturity is. He says, three things will what? Last forever. You see, a child does not know the things that last forever. One case of a child is that they are carried away so easily by bling. They are carried away so easily by excitement. But how you know maturity is that somebody sees something and they begin to know, put value on things that will last. Praise the Lord. How you begin to see a mature person when you're dealing with things that, when you start talking with him, let me say he can come and then you guys have money or something you want to speak. And then a young kid just saying, buy me toy, buy this. But he's saying, let's put the money, and then when you're going to go to college and all that. The mature person is looking at things that will last, that will bring more value. That's how you can differentiate a child from an adult. So in that same place, when he said when he became a man, he started thinking in a mature form. He went right there, verse 13, and said that three things will last forever. This is what my maturity has come to reveal to me. He said, faith, hope, and what? And love. And the greatest of this is what? Is love. So his maturity brought him to a place that he began to know that the issue really is love. Praise the Lord. Maturity, he says, when I was a child, I was thinking of a child. I was thinking, well, it is this. If I pray longer, if in a high place, or if I prophesy more, or if I do this, he says all those things. He says what he came to find out and he matured is that there are things that last forever. There are things that their value will take you for a long time. That is not something that you just catch now, enjoy now, it is gone. That is childhood. But with maturity, he says that faith, hope, and love are the things that last forever. And the greatest of this is love. So if we cannot understand and accept the righteousness of faith, given and received freely, we'll have struggle having any kind of victory. If we cannot understand it, because you know, that righteousness and that faith comes through love. So he says, in my maturity, what I found out is that love is the anchor of the whole thing. And it is through love that I can understand anything that has to do with God, because that's what lasts forever. So he begins to say, so if we cannot accept this righteousness, if we cannot understand it, the problem is that we are still children in understanding love. We have not matured to understand that faith, hope, and love is something that lasts what? That lasts forever. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5. From verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are what? Justified, acquitted, what? Declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. Now, he said, therefore, since we are what? Justified. Through what? Through faith. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Let us grasp that we have peace with God. He says, therefore, since we are justified and we are gone, how are we justified? He said, because the only way you can become justified, the only way you can have peace with God is that you are confident that you are justified. If there is no justification, if there is no way you are justified, there is no way you can have confidence that you have peace with God. If you still have to be justified, if there's an act that will justify you, you will never come to a place that you are reconciled and you have peace with God. And so, which means that if you never have a constant understanding and confidence that you have peace and you are reconciled with God, then it becomes very difficult for you to continually have victory with God. And with for you, it becomes very difficult for you to begin to have victory with the power, with the source of God. It becomes very difficult for you to be able to continue to have victory using the power that comes from God, and God being your source. It becomes very difficult because at some times, because if you're not fully reconciled, if you're not justified, sometimes you might pull the resources for victory, and sometimes you might not pull the resources for victory because you might come sometimes and fall short. And you might come sometimes and think that what? You have earned it. So without us being justified and grasp the fact, and grasp the what? The fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, verse 2. That through him also we have our access. We have entrance, we have introduction by faith into what? into this grace, the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and what and enjoying the glory of God. So it is these things, these things are preceding that allows us to be able to rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying what God has. This is what allows us to be able to experience and enjoy the glory of God. If we are not justified, there is no way that we can have hope of experiencing and enjoying what? The glory of God. So understanding righteousness becomes very critical. Understanding our right standing with God and how we became right standing with God and what is our righteousness and knowing the state of that righteousness at every time and knowing how to access that righteousness at every time, without doubt, we start having problem to express in experiencing and enjoying God's glory. Praise the Lord. So if we do not understand God's love, like I said, it will be very difficult for us to know and abide in His will. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the thing is that the only way faith comes is through love. So he says that when I was a child, he said, I thought like a child. Now you understand that in the Bible, the book of Romans, he says that when an heir is still a child, that you subject him under control of something else. Right? That you subject him unto that, even though he's the one that owns that thing. So in other words, he can't really go and take that thing. He has to go get permission. Praise the Lord. And actually, if he goes to get permission, sometimes it's based on how that in-between feels, even though it's his own. He says that we were subjected to that, which is the law, until when Jesus Christ, born of a woman, will come and do what? Free us from all of that. So that we can now go freely because of the righteousness that we received in him to be able to go freely to do what? To take everything that is ours that God is offering us. So if we have faith, it's not built by love. In other words, if we don't understand love, because faith is through love, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's only through faith that you can come to God all the time. And the channel of faith is love. Now, if you don't understand love, then you can't have faith. Or your faith cannot be at the level to which constantly you can go to God with it. Praise the Lord. And if you can't go constantly to God through that faith, it means that sometimes you can come boldly, and sometimes you're unable to come. So now, because sometimes you can come and sometimes you cannot come, what that happens now to you is that you will begin to find ways. You begin to find ways that will make you to be able to come. But if you understand righteousness that I've been given to you as a gift of love, and if you understand the amazing love of God, that truly that God can give you something like that, praise the Lord. If you understand the source of where it's coming from, that it is love, and its love can really give you a free entrance through Jesus Christ, it gives you peace to be able to continue to come to God. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. For if we are in Christ Jesus. For what? If we are in Christ Jesus, as long as you are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, which is what? Activated and what? And energized and expressed and working what? Through love. He says nothing matters. He said if you are in Christ, there is nothing else again that can give you faith. That you're circumcised, that you fulfilled this or did not fulfill that, that you did this or did not do that. That is not what is going to be able to make faith come alive for you. That the only thing that will make faith come alive for you is that if it's activated through the love of God. So it is not about what you bring, but what love has done for you. Now, if you don't understand the love of God and you interpret the love of God from your human point, from your own understanding, then you cannot take those things. Because if you look at love the way you look at it, there are many things that you will not qualify. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:17. So for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who do what? Who receive God's abundant provision of what? Of grace and what? And of the gift of righteousness. Now, this is very important. We're getting somewhere now. I want you to see something that's very clear. He says, if the trespass of one man, you have to understand that the sin, what separated us from God is a trespass that came in through one man. He says, now, if a trespass of one man made death to be reigning, made you to be separated to God, now, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of his righteousness reign in life through who? Through that one man, Jesus Christ. So reigning in life requires righteousness. Praise the Lord. Reigning in life requires what? It requires righteousness. Why does it require righteousness? Like I said again on Sunday, you have to understand that for you to reign, you must be above. You cannot be sitting under people and say you're reigning over them. Praise the Lord. And the only thing that reigns against everything, if righteousness, in other words, there is no fault to be found in righteousness. So righteousness is perfect. Righteousness is God. So they say no one is righteous but who? But God. So then what that says is that it sets you above everything. So because you're above everything, including the law, you can reign. Because reigning comes from the top. It is the higher that reigns to the lower. The lower does not reign to the light. So if the person is like a billow of the sea, if they come down and they go up, they come down, they are not reigning in life. So they can reign 1 year, and then the next year they are dominated. Praise the Lord. So they can have one victory, and the next time they have failure. But if they receive the gift, if they have righteousness, let's even forget the gift. First of all, if the person has righteousness, if it's righteous continually, then at every time he's above everything, so he can reign at all times. Praise the Lord. But why it has to be a gift is that there is no man that on his own can be righteous all the time. He said, because all have what? All have sinned. So there is no way you can now on your own. And righteousness is a characteristic of God. Praise the Lord. So there's no way you can become God unless God makes you God. Or God gives you what it takes to be like God. And what happens is that powerful people all over the world is very rare. That's why you have dictators. Because if it's not a place like democracy, when people have power, nobody wants to give power. Praise the Lord. That's why it's an amazing love. That God, that with all this power, with the righteousness, what sets him above everything, that he was willing to die that you can become above. That's why it's amazing, because regular love, no matter how much people, that's why even people who are reigning, they reign until they're so old before they can even agree for their own son to take over the kingship. Praise the Lord. So he says, if anyone now receives that gift, amen. He says, those who receive it, not those who hear about it. See, that's why it's important to understand righteousness. Not those who have heard about it. Not those who think about it. Not those who have been taught about it. But that if a person now receives that righteousness, which is something that he cannot attain, but he believes through the law, through faith, through love, have a faith that he can receive this through love, understanding the kind of love that God is. He says if a person has that now, he can begin to reign in life. Because that what he has done, he's seated with Christ above what? Above all powers. Because it is, he said, if you look at the book of Hebrews, he says, why Christ? He says God has anointed him because of what? God anointed Jesus. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 5. He says that because his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Put that Hebrews 1 verse 8 for me. He said, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is what? Actually, put it in Amplified. Put it in Amplified. Put it in Amplified. But as to the Son, he says to him, your throne, O God, is what? is forever and ever, to ages of ages. And the scepter of your kingdom is what? A scepter of what? Of absolute righteousness. Go to verse 9. It says, you have loved righteousness, you have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness in purpose, thought, and action, and you have hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, even your God, has done what? Anointed you with the oil of exalted joy and gladness above and beyond what? Your companions. He said, because your scepter is of absolute righteousness. So what righteousness does is that it elevates above everything else. He said, because of your righteousness, you have been elevated above your companions. Praise the Lord. So now, righteousness is what elevates a person. Righteousness is what elevates a nation. Righteousness is what you say, if you receive it, you can reign in life. Because every issue in life, if you approach it in righteousness, if you come above, you'll be able to dominate that thing. So if we understand our righteousness as a gift of love, it becomes a bedrock to reigning, then we can be able to accept God's righteousness. And I'll show you as we're going, because you see, you cannot dispense what you do not have. Because the mistake is that when people don't understand and accept the righteousness I give, they go to achieve righteousness. So what happens when you go to achieve righteousness and you fail is that you remain in a place where you can have victory. And another mistake we do is that we go to do things that will create righteousness. But the point now is that if I don't have any money, I can't go to spend money. Praise the Lord. If I don't have dollars, there is no way I can now step out saying I'm going to do what? I'm going to go step down. So the only way I can successfully spend dollars is that I have to have dollars. But the point is that I can't get dollars unless it was given to me. We couldn't get righteousness unless the one that was what? Was given to us. So our starting point is to first receive righteousness. We are broke and empty of any kind of goodness. We have nothing to bring in the table. So the only way we can even start to be able to even do good is that we first what? We receive the power of good. So when we receive the gift of righteousness, it causes us now to begin to reign in life. Amen. Now, you have to understand that what it means to reign is for a person to do and fulfill the will of God for their life. That's really what it means to reign. To have success, to have victory. It says that the righteous is as bold as a lion. It says that we are victorious in what? In Christ Jesus. So what is considered for you to reign is that you have victory. You can't go in a war and they defeat you and you come back and say we are reigning over them. It can't happen. So it is victory that defines reigning. Praise the Lord. So it is only through righteousness that we're able to reign. That means that that's how we're able to do the will of God. And the will of God said, God said the plan he has for us is a plan of what? Good. So the will of God is for us is that no man will what? Will perish, but everybody will what? Receive eternal life. So eternal life really is life. He said nobody will perish, but they will receive abundant life. Praise the Lord. So reigning means that you have abundant life. If you don't have abundant life, you're not reigning. If sickness is dominating you, you're not reigning. If sin is dominating you, you're not reigning. If poverty is dominating you, you're not reigning. Praise the Lord. But if you're able to have victory over all this, that's what it means that you reign. And the will of God for you is that you be well. The will of God for you is that you prosper. Praise the Lord. The will of God for you is that you be holy. Praise the Lord. So if you don't have righteousness, if you don't have it, you can't fulfill the will of God. So we're talking about fulfilling the will of God, not the will of men, not the will that sin, because you know men have their own will. Now sin have its own will, because it says sin was dominating the world. So sin has its own will. The devil has his own will. The flesh has its own will. Even the law has its own will. So Romans 6:14. It says, for sin shall not be your master because what? Because you are not under the law, but you are what? You are under grace. So in other words, he's saying that you are under grace. You are under God's mercy. You are under God's love. God's mercy and God's love is way above the law. He said, mercy trumps. It trumps the law. So when the Bible says something trumps the law, it means that that thing is beneath it. So now, if you come and you be under grace, and the law is under grace, you are above the law. Praise the Lord. So that's how the law cannot dominate you, because you are under grace. Now, sin cannot dominate a righteous, and you can only be righteous by grace. There's no other way you can be righteous, since sin cannot dominate righteous. Righteous dominates everything. So the only way you can be righteous is that you are under grace. Because without grace, you can't have righteousness. Without grace, you can't have what? You cannot have righteousness. So Romans 4:5. He said, but people are counted as righteous, not because of what? Not because of their work. So you need to understand righteousness. Because you see, if you don't understand righteousness and you go to get righteousness from another means, you get stuck being under the law because you can never go above it by your work. And then since you can never go above it by your work, you continue being under the law. So when you're under the law, you're under sin, you're under men, you're under everything, so you can't reign. Because you do not possess what it takes to what? To reign. The only way you can reign is if you're righteous. And the only way you can have righteousness is through grace. Praise the Lord. And the righteousness is needed. He said, but people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of what? Their faith in God who does what? And remember, we said that faith is what? Through love. Now, if the love, you see, that's why I started saying that when he matured, he found out that what lasts forever is what? Is love. So his concentration becomes to understand love, to live in love, to accept love, to know the love of God. He says, this is what does what? Last forever. And that is what guarantees that I'll be able to rule. Because immediately you live out of love, you drop your righteousness. Immediately you walk out of love, because immediately you're judging somebody else, immediately you're judging other things, what begins to happen is that the first person that you begin to judge is yourself. And immediately you judge yourself, you pull out of righteousness. So sin cannot dominate the righteous. So people who are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God. But the law says something different. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. He said, behold what? All souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as what? As the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall what? He shall die. Period. There is no if and or but. The soul who sins shall do what? That died. So it's only in Christ Jesus, the soul that did not sin, and he did the whole work, completed, and it is his, an amazing love that he has. He says, you take it. So the only way we can reign is that we receive this gift of righteousness, because we can achieve it, but Christ achieved it for us and says, look, I have it. He says, all power in heaven, on earth, and beneath it has what? Given to me. He said, now in my name, do what? Go and reign. If you don't understand righteousness in that sense, because first, if you understand it in that sense, then you receive it. When you receive it, now you have the power. Now, let me tell you something. If you know that you're holy, this chair does not make me holy. If I sit on this chair, it becomes holy. Eh? What happens with that is that when you approach sin in a totally different way. Whenever you see sin, you say, I am in charge of it. Eh? I am not fighting to win it so that I can become holy. I am already holy. So I can command it, and I cannot give myself to it. In other words, it's a clean thing. Will not want. If you're wearing, how you will know? Dress up someday and be going somewhere and put up your best suit or your best clothes, nice and shiny, and come out someday and see mud on the middle of the road and you are a good Samaritan. You always consider your clothes before you clean. But if you're wearing a jeans, if you come and you say, ah, why did they leave all this thing over? You do what? You bend down, you get to clean dirt. So what makes you not to get into dirt is what you are. Praise the Lord. Let me explain that. I don't know if people understand me. I'm using regular thing. Just get dressed up one day and you're wearing your very nice clothes. And you even come out, you see how your kids have left dirty things around. Most of the time you say, let me go remove my clothes and come and clean it. Right? Why did you say that? It's same you. The only thing is that your consciousness that I'm clean, that the state that I am is too dignified for what? For cleaning that. That's what stopped you. You didn't go clean it so you can become dignified. Because you would have gone. But instead, you will leave it and go and do what? Change your clothes and wear a dirty one and do what? And come again. So what makes a person to be able to see dirt and be able to understand that I'm not for dirt is because they realize that they are clean. So not going to clean it is going to make you clean. But if you don't understand righteousness, you'll be thinking that it's you going to clean dirt or it's you going to be in debt. If that's dirt that's going to, if you do it well, is what's going to clean you, then you won't know you are clean, and then you just see it. By the time you know it, you go there. And then you'll be resisting to stop it. You'll be resisting to stop it because when I don't do this anymore, that I will become clean. But if you knew that you were clean, not the reason you said, I'm clean. This thing is too what? It's too dirty for me. That is what takes us out of it. He says, so what the law brings is death. The soul that sins are dead. So Christ fulfilled God's will of righteousness in a man, that he may live in a man to empower him in exercising his power. You know what I'm saying? That Christ had to come and fulfill righteousness as a human being, so that righteousness can come now and live in men. God, righteousness. He had to fulfill the law of righteousness. Righteousness was fulfilled. God did not just say, let's forget righteousness. That's not what God did. God couldn't do that. God is a righteous God. Make no mistake about it. God is holy and he has called us to be holy. Make no mistake. God did not get up and say, let me just forget holiness. God is still very holy and he will not be in something that's not holy. He will not be there. He can't. So Christ, what he did was, Christ had to come as a man, fulfill righteousness, so that now man as a vessel, God, who is righteousness, can do what? Can live inside him. But before then, he couldn't live inside man. He couldn't find a man that he would live inside. So now, the way that now righteousness lives in you is what? Through Christ. So immediately you move Christ, you can't have righteousness. You can't dominate. Everything will be controlled. It is in Christ that your power is in. It is in Christ, it's through Christ that righteousness lives in you. So, but it happened because Christ did what? Fulfilled it for you. That's why it's an amazing love. Let's look at the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 8. He said, first he said, he's saying, he's talking about, Jesus Christ is talking, he said, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Although what? The law required them to be made. Verse 9. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do what? Your will. Righteousness is the will of God. I've come to do your will. He sets aside the first to do what? To establish it. In other words, he sets aside the law. He said, even those the burning over time, he said the law required it. He said, but he sets aside that one. The first one, which is the way that it was going. And you see, it never happened because every time they would burn the animal. Every time they would burn the animal. But, you know, it couldn't live inside of it. So it was just a sacrifice that just continued and continued. It could never stop. Verse 10. And by that will, what happened? We have been what? Made holy through what? The sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, what? Once and for all. You need to understand righteousness so you'll be able to reign. Because as long as you don't have righteousness, you can't reign. And if you don't understand your righteousness that is through grace, do you know that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ? Is that correct? But Peter also betrayed Jesus Christ. Right? But the other person did what? He killed himself. Because he did not understand, you know, but Peter... At first, Jesus had been talking to him. He says, look, devil has a plan to what? Sit there, but I've prayed for you. I have grace. I've covered you. So he accepted that I am not good, but I've been what? I've been covered. That's why he could be able to turn back. If you don't understand the righteousness that is of grace, what happens is that if you crash, you're out. Hypocrisy sets in. Then you start losing victories upon victories. You start losing battles. Then what happens is that you bring in with your own power to fight battles. And the more you come in to struggle on yourself, the more you do what? Because by your arm of flesh, you cannot do it. But if you understand righteousness as a gift that has come through grace, and the whole power of grace, that grace is the power to forgive, grace is the power to teach you godliness, in grace embeds everything you need to reign. If you understand that in that package has forgiveness, in that package have power to overcome. Praise the Lord. So if we know that the will of God has been fulfilled, and where it fulfilled was through that sacrifice, the body of Christ, we know that the will was fulfilled. So he's not calling you to do the will of righteousness because you can't do it. You cannot. So if you get up and say, I want to go and do the will of God, I want to do it. You cannot do it because for years he put it down, I'll do it, you can't do it. But someone has done it for you, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for us. So somebody has made you holy. So all you have to do is now trust on that person. It's not live your life to me. It's not approach everything with the confidence and the love that he did it for you. So when you're walking around, you don't think of yourself that you're wearing a dirty clothes. So when you see dirt, you say, I'm too clean for it. But you have to consciously know that. Immediately it goes out of your thing. Let me say, for example, if it is you that is your own righteousness, you can come now and argue with your wife or argue with your friend. Then you are already down. They come out, you see the next thing. Someone wants you, start shouting at them, start fighting. But if you know that the righteousness is a gift that you have received, even when you fail over there, and you know grace wakes you up, you say, I'm still clean. Then when you see another dirt, you say, I'm clean. I'm clean. I don't even know how I got into that other dirt before. How can I be this clean and got into that other dirt? See, that's what keeps you. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, from verse 3. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is powerful, but immediately it was applied to the flesh. The law became what? It became weak. You know, the Bible says that the law is holy. There's nothing wrong with the law that God, it was God that gave the law. There's nothing wrong with it. But immediately it hit the flesh, it became what? It became weak. Immediately hit the flesh, become weak through the flesh. He said, now God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of what? Of sinful flesh. On account of sin. He condemned sin, what? In the flesh, verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be what? Might be fulfilled. The righteous requirement of the law, yes, it was a requirement. Don't kill. Don't, it was a righteous requirement. But man couldn't fulfill it because when he hit the flesh, the weakness of the flesh did not allow him to fulfill it. But he said he sent his own son. And when we read in the Hebrew, he said his scepter was a scepter of what? Of absolute righteousness. So he fulfilled it. He was able to fulfill the requirement, the righteous requirement of the law, that it might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. We have talked a lot about what it's about walking according to the Spirit. It's walking according to believing that what? Of what the Spirit of God that is in you. Praise the Lord. So he says that he was able to fulfill. So in Christ, righteousness and holiness now becomes a birthright. Praise the Lord. It becomes a birthright. Because that is what he said, he fulfilled that requirement for you and me in him. So immediately you accept him, one of your birthrights is righteousness. Now, you know that in the Bible they talked about somebody who threw away his birthright. Do you know what the Bible called him? Profane. Go look up that word in the dictionary. A profane person. So that's what people don't understand. When we refuse our birthright, he came, he said the birthright did not matter anything, that they should give him porridge. That was okay. And he says when he came back and began to cry and beg for it, he couldn't get in anymore because he was a profane person. He didn't understand what he has. So if we don't understand righteousness, the gift of righteousness that we have received through grace to reign, if we leave it and God begin to create righteousness. The Bible calls us profane people. The person begins to find a place in his state of weakness, a place where God of unbelief, and he's disassociated from God because God has nothing to do with him because through the law, he did not fulfill any righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12. So it says, do what? Pursue peace with what? With all people. And what? And holiness. Let me tell you something. If somebody tell you to go after something you know you can never achieve, what kind of person do you call that person? A wicked person. So, understanding all this thing we are saying here, people read this thing, don't understand. What is pursuing holiness? This thing that I'm teaching you. Believe the righteousness and the holiness that God has done for you. Can't be telling you to pursue what you... Yeah, God, how many have been pursuing you? How many you have by the law? He said that the law couldn't do it. The Bible has declared that it cannot be done. So, but here he says that you should pursue it. He said, without which no one will what? See the Lord. Without holiness, we will not see God. Now, let me tell you something. When people think about seeing God, think about going to heaven, let me tell you that it's the hand of God that brings victory in your life in any place. If you don't see victory, you're not seeing God. He's not talking about going to heaven. He said, without that holiness, you won't reign. That's what he's saying. He said, without holiness, you what? Rain. He says, so pursue holiness. And the only way you can achieve holiness is through Christ. Because he has told you that it's impossible. Which other way are you going to pursue holiness? Are you going to fulfill the law? He says, without holiness, you cannot see God. You cannot see the hand of God in your life. You cannot see the power of God working for you. How else? And it's absolute. He said, without it. He didn't say without 99% of holiness. He said without what? Holiness. Verse 15. He said, looking carefully, lest anyone does what? Fall short. Right next line, he begins to tell you how holiness is pursued. He said, look carefully, lest anyone fall short of grace of God. Lest any root of what? Bitterness springing up. Cause trouble, and by this many what? Many became defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any what? Any fornicator or profane person like Esau. What he's saying there is that what happens is that when you don't know, I just gave that analogy, when you don't know how clean you are, what happens is that any dirt you see, you think it's okay. So if you're wearing short or you're just wearing your work clothes, when you come out now, if it is raining and you see people pushing car in the mud, you join them, right? But you can't be wearing your $2,000 suit and see people in the rain. You go out there. No matter how much you love them, all you'll be saying, so somebody make a call. People, you won't say anything, but in your heart, what you're saying is that this is not meant for what? For this kind of job. He said, or be profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food, did what? Sold out his birthright. So if you are not holy, you cannot live holy. You cannot spend what you don't have. If a person is not holy, they cannot do what? They cannot live a holy life. They can't. How can somebody not have US dollar and be spending US dollar? Okay, the person can say he's going to go work for it. But the Bible has told us that there is no work that you can work for righteousness to be what? To be paid back. They say there's nothing you can do. Say there's only one way it can happen now. He said, because before I've given you the law and told you to go and do what? Right? He said, but immediately when he hit the flesh, he did what? He became weak. It couldn't happen. So there's no way you can get dollars. There's no, I don't care how, you can't. There's no way you can get righteousness except through Christ. But he showed us who fulfilled it. And he said, now that wheel of righteousness was now, did what? Was now, God said, okay, it has been fulfilled over here. That's where we read before. So if you understand righteousness, in that form, you receive that gift of righteousness. You begin to reign. I'm telling you, That's how we're, that's how, when he says that we live by the power of God, that's what he meant. Then in you, I mean, you begin to reign. You begin to reign because your consciousness, your understanding is, this is what I am. Let me tell you something. The reason I use this, because this is the most common thing, everybody. The reason I won't come to it and begin to just lie to you is because I know that I have faith that God will keep me. Do you know that most lies, it happens sometimes to protect yourself and to get what you think, that if you say the other thing, you're not going to get it. But if you are confident that you're kept by the power of God, if you have faith that through love that God, and because why you're that confident is that you're righteous. You say, God, I'm accepted, I'm reconciled, I have peace with him, so he will do this for me. So you come, that's why you don't lie. It's not because you have, because many times when you forget that and try to go tell the truth, last for 2 days, let me see you. I don't chase women, not because I become so plain that I will not see women and say women don't look beautiful. But the point is that, why don't cross my mind? I say, I'm too clean for this. I'm just too clean for this. So it is, if we don't take our birthright of righteousness, which is our bedrock, which is the anchor, even in our business, that's why people are afraid. Fear comes because people, you can go somewhere, they begin to say there are witches, there are wizards, or forget even there are witches or wizards. They begin to tell you, oh, this person wants to hurt you, or this is happening because of this, or thoughts begin to depress. You know, that in societies where people don't believe in demons, like this society so much, but people, you know, people are fighting with tremendous amount of depression. If something is oppressive, it's demonic. If you want to be happy, you can't. The thing is pushing you down. You don't see it. It is thoughts and imagination. Thoughts and imagination. Those things are, and those thoughts and imagination, where they are coming from is that you are not reconciled to God. You are not good. It begins to speak to your ear, telling you how bad you are, telling you if you have done this right, if you did not do this right. Those things sound, and then they throw you into depression. There are some people who get into debt, and they go into depression because they start telling you, you're lazy, you're this, you're that. You get to a point where the person can't even get up to go to work anymore. Those thoughts just become too much. They sit one place. Those things begin to reign. But if they have received their birthright of righteousness, they have a clean clothes. So any of those things, they have an answer to them. And the answer is coming through Christ. That's why they say Christ is the answer. Praise the Lord. And the answer is coming through Christ. So it becomes your birthright that you can stand on it and be reigning. And be reigning. And be ready. Know very much. You know the source of it. Then Christ becomes your all in all. That's why it changes your worship. That's why when you understand righteousness, you'll be a very thankful person. If you understand righteousness, you'll be a very giving person. I'm telling you, it's lack of understanding of righteousness restricts us in many ways. If you understand, that's what Apostle Paul says. He begins to say, let's look at it. I think it's Galatians 1:20. He says, The life that I now live in this flesh, I live it not what? Who loved me and did what? Gave it. So now all you're thinking, who loved me? You begin to see the power of righteousness. It begins to drive everything you do. That's why in Corinthians, he said, the love of God does what now? It constrains me. It constrains me. Righteousness now begin to constrain you. That's even your. He tells them. He says, see what kind of repentance came to you people. Yeah? He says the repentance, this kind of repentance that have come to you people now, is godly repentance that does what? That leads to salvation. But a person who does not understand righteousness can never have godly repentance, because he's saying, I did not achieve it. I did not. That's why Judas killed himself. He said, "Oh, I've killed. I've gone and gave up a righteous man. Oh man, how could I?" He go and plunge himself to death. And when a person does not understand righteousness, you see how sorrowful their life is. They'll make a lot of mistakes. Things will be talking to them on a constant basis, because everyone has failed and continues to what? veil. Nobody's perfect by himself, but Christ is perfect. So the righteous will of God. And God knew that there's no way you can reign, that the only thing that reigns is righteousness. So the only way you can reign is to elevate you to righteousness. So it's our birthright. So we shouldn't ignore it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 11. When we understand this as our birthright, this is what begins to happen. Listen to it. He said, may you always be what? Be filled with the fruit of your salvation. The righteous character produced in your life by who? By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise what? To God. That's when he starts bringing praise to God. See, but if you are going to go try to, I'm a Christian, let me do this. You can't do it. But he says now, if your life is filled with the fruit of that, your salvation, how is it filled with the fruit of that, your salvation? That you constantly, you're thankful to God. That you know that I'm what I am by Christ. And you know I'm righteous. So even if you come here and you kick your leg, you say, no, I'm still righteous. It's me that kicked my leg, but Christ did not kick his leg. I'm still righteous in him. So another one come, you just cross your leg over. Praise the Lord. It says the righteous character is produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will now then begin to what? Bring glory and praise to God. You cannot do by yourself what bring praise and glory to God. It is Christ that has fulfilled. He said, this is my son with whom I'm what? He think it's not you that he said that. But immediately you are in him, you too become what? My son who is what? You pull yourself from him. That line does not go for you. It does not go for me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, what we're talking is understanding righteousness. We need to understand righteousness this way. A gift. It says, God's will is for you to be what? To be holy. That's God's will. So it's not like he says, I've brought grace, don't be holy. It's that you be holy. Take out Jesus Christ. You can't meet the will. You can't. I can't. God's will is that you be holy. So stay away from what? From sexual sin. Listen, look at this. So what he's saying, that his will is to be for you to be holy. So do what? Stay away. So in other words, what that so is saying over there, they staying away comes from being holy. They staying away don't make you holy. They stay away can only come if you are what?
Yes.
Verse 4. Then each of you will control his own body and live what? And live now in holiness. Somebody who's living in Nigeria now, can they be living in America? You control your body and live in holiness. It's when you're living in holiness. That's where you control your body. You cannot be in holiness and be able to control your body. Many of us here, when we have not have Christ in our life, there are a lot of things that we think about now we're ashamed of. But when we were doing those things, we knew it was bad. Now, what do you think changed? Why do you think? You look at yourself, you say, like, I'm not this. So the more you begin to know what you are, the more you begin to refuse this. The more you begin to know who you are, the more you begin to what? Because you're living, the more you begin to, so if you move, so if you're in this hotel, and you came, you say you're not going to pay for a room, and you stay outside in the in the lobby over there. You stay there. If it is raining, you'll be hiding one side or the other, right? And then you might leave your some clothes in the box. You won't bring it out, and you'll be hiding. But then the more you know now that you can come inside and stay in the lobby, they won't kick you out, right? When you come to the lobby, it changes your personality. It changes how you react. When you know that, you can go and get a room and take a shower. So as you begin to get the knowledge, the higher knowledge, it begins to reflect on what you can't live the knowledge you don't have. So that each of you will know how to control his body and live in holiness and honor. Verse 5. Not in lustful passion, like who? Like the pagans who do not know God. Do you see why they live there? It's because they are not in Christ. Not because they don't know the law. Not because they don't try to keep it. The reason is that they are pagans. Do you know what pagan means? Somebody who does not know Christ, that's really what it means. Pagans who do not know God and what? and his ways. In the book of Romans 3, I think it's 3, 20, 21. I don't know. He said that the righteousness that God ascribes to. He said there's a righteousness that God does what? Ascribes to. There's a righteousness he ascribes to. So if he ascribes to it, that means that's his what? His ways. If I don't ascribe to something, it's not my way. So staying away from these things is not what makes you holy. Being holy makes you stay away from these things. So we must stay away because we are holy. And we do not want to dirty a holy thing. And the Bible says that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. So we stay from it because we are holy, not to make us holy. Say, don't you what? Don't you realize? Don't you know? Don't you understand that what? Your body is a temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit. How did your body become the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because Christ, this what? Lives in it. And Christ does not live in it through anything that what? You did. So you become holy as a gift. So now that you are holy, he said, don't you realize that you're holy? That's what he's asking here. Who lives in you and was given to you? It was a gift. So your holiness is a gift. You must understand it as a gift. And a gift is free. And a gift is something that is left for you to use. To receive and to use it. So if he gives me a car now, and I don't receive it, and I use leg, I'll be carrying all these things back and forth. I'm saying that if I work hard, if I carry it some more, then I'll finally get to a car. But I've been told that there is no going back and forth that can get me a car. Don't you know I'll do it until I die, I won't get any car. It'll bring frustration, it'll bring bitterness, it'll bring confusion. He said, you do not belong what? You do not belong to yourself. Verse 20. For God bought you with what? With a high price. So you must do what? Honor God with your body. So you must honor God with your body. Because you are holy. Making you holy was not a cheap thing. And even giving it to you was not a cheap thing. I gave you an example where people have children. They are 80, 85. They refuse to relinquish their... Look at the woman that's king in queen in what is this country? They're across the pond. She has remained queen since. Their son is getting old. Their grandchildren are getting old. He doesn't want to give them queen. Who gives her? But Christ, there is the love of God. That why we're yet sinners. He did what? He himself, so that he can take us out of that state. That's amazing. Nobody handles that kind of power. I want to share it. Nobody. That's why it's an amazing love. And that's why a lot of people can't comprehend it and take it. They say, no, nobody does something like that. So even if you shout and shout, they say, are you saying you are not going to contribute a little? But he's saying, no, you can't contribute. But if I give you, you can walk off of it. If you receive it, you can do what? You can use it. They say if you don't receive it, you can't get it. You can't achieve it. Now it makes you thankful because you can't boast. You start to know that what you are. So the Apostle Paul says, he says that I don't take the grace of God in vain. For so whatever I am now, I'm what? I'm by his grace. He said, but that grace, I don't take it. I don't look down to it. I don't take it as something that is nothing. Because I know what's important, what it has cost. And why I'm enjoying what I'm enjoying now. So it frees you from yourself. It frees you from imaginations. Do you know that without righteousness, you can be walking around and walking here, and I say nothing, and I just look at you. Maybe I was looking that way, but there was a way my eye was. You said the way pastor was looking at me was because of this. Because first of all, you have judged yourself. Before you can think somebody is judging you, you know you have judged yourself and you have come short. That is why you think somebody else is judging. But if you never came short, you won't begin to attribute that somebody else is judging you. Praise the Lord. So right there, you can't reign. So the first thing is you start being shy around you. You can read. So even when I say now, come out and read something, if you say, hey, he's just saying that. That way he looked at, you can't read. You see why it is right? Without righteousness, you just can't read. And if you say, let you pull it from yourself, you can't, because you will fall short somewhere. So your victory will be up, some victory, no victory. Even in your life, even in your marriage, even in your business, in your relationship, at your job, there will be no boldness. Because boldness comes as a reason of being righteous. He said the righteous is as bold as what? As a lion, because at all times he's above. Do you know a righteous person takes correction very easily? Because you're correcting him, he doesn't look at that's what makes him what he is. He already believes that he's the best. So you're correcting him, he says, that's just going to enhance me. But a small person, because you know a righteous person is a big person. Because remember, we said that righteous is above everything. So if you're righteous, you're a big man, you're a big woman. Praise the Lord. So it leaves you, the person, to be a small person. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1 to 4. And as we're rounding up. So it says, so now be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly what? Loved children. And live a life of what? Of love. Just as Christ did what? Loved us and gave what? Gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Stop there. That's what I'm saying. That it is when you understand love, that's when you can love. When you understand, when you love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up. If you have accepted and understand righteousness, then you know the love of God. If you have accepted right, if you understand righteousness and you understand why you're reigning, that it was because of love, I don't deserve this, then you understand that it becomes easy for you to love others. He said, then you'll be able to live a life of love just as Christ loved. Verse 3. So, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for what? For God's holy. It's not for people who God is going to make holy. He says they are already holy people. That's why it became improper. You're wearing such a clean clothes. That's why you didn't go to wipe that mouth. But if you didn't know you are wearing a clean clothes, if you didn't know that you would have, you'd be gone, be wiping the mud and be thinking, then the day you don't wipe it, you say, oh, now I'm good. But you're still wearing the same shirt. The next day you see another one, you go in. But because as a holy people, verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So what understanding righteousness does is that it begins to elicit thanksgiving in life. Because you come and you see people who are wearing that thing, pushing it. You say, wow, if I didn't have this suit on now, I would have been part of the people that are pushing this thing. If you see them living that kind of, you say, wow, if I didn't know who I am, if I didn't know that the Holy Spirit lives in me, if I didn't know that I'm reconciled with God, I would have been doing this, playing this game now to be able to survive. That's what I would have been doing now. But I know God loves me. I know he's working for me. I know he's going to take me through this. Wow, if I didn't know that, I would have been struggling in that pit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So thankfulness becomes just a default thing. So every time you be thankful. So you become somebody who's merciful. And is that in that same thankful state that if you come to the house of God, if the things of God is not something, because you begin to look at God as somebody that has given you so much. So the psalmist begin to ask, he say, what will I even give? We say, what is it? Say, is it money? What is it that I will give to match such an amazing? If you don't understand it, then they will be pushing you. Do this. Do this. everything you've been holding it because you there's just you don't know that you are clothed in an amazing way for free. And why you'll be struggling with that is because you are also not using your righteousness. So you don't have abundance. Praise the Lord. So my prayer this evening is that we'll be people that take our birthright. That receive our gift of righteousness and abundance of grace and begin to reign with it. And that every time we know that we are clothed in it, every time we know that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, so obscene talk begin to come out. So he said, it'd be strange to you because you are holy. Not because if you don't curse, you become holy. Because you are already in a holy state, and a holy state does not produce that. You just say, this is a holy state. How can I produce this? Then you see that as we begin to live like that, you see us in our continuous victory. Then even when we have an error, understanding how that righteousness came to makes it very easy. Just stand up and continue moving.